Praise the Lord. Can you point out, based on the reflections I've had, what do you think the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst? Not only what you think, but what we've identified. I'm sure that we've identified at least up to three. Because this time we're here, we're talking, some people are writing from beginning to the end. So, can anybody share with us? Anyone? So you don't even know what the Spirit is doing in your life now. Okay? Mr. Meka? Sorry, didn't get what he said? Okay, let's just articulate it on the board here. What the Holy Spirit is doing now in the church. Or if you like, the body. When I say the body, you understand, right? Okay. All right. So, more than going to 2 months now, we've been reflecting on this in different ways. Okay. And you not mentioned one. It does what? Leading to the truth. Leading us to the truth. Okay, just to ask, have you been able to identify one of the truths he has led you to understand? Can you identify any of them? Position in Christ. Okay. Position in Christ. Okay, thank you for that. Yes. Any other person? Yes. Okay. Okay. Preceding word. 2. He will give you the preceding word. Preceding word. 4. Every area of your life. Okay. 3. Yes, sir. Who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ and what? Our real substance is part of the truth. Our real. There are 3 major assignment the Holy Spirit will carry out. We've just captured one, leading us to the truth. There's still remaining 2. Mm-hmm. Our substance in Christ. Yes, sir. The quarter man. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Washing us. Washing to present us. To do what? Present us without spot. Or wrinkle. Mm-hmm. And how is it bringing about this reality? Through the washing of the water by the word. Where is it again in the Bible? Ephesians what? 5 what? Sorry, I can't get you. 25. Leading us to the truth. Where is it? 'When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to all the truth. Which scripture passage is that? John 16:13 or 16:14? Okay. 16 verse 14. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's what Jesus saying now. In other words, before then there was no Spirit of truth. The Spirit that reveals the truth in the heart of God was not present. In other words, whatever information, whatever we have before the arrival of the Spirit of truth was not found in God. On account of it, it is baseless as far as God is concerned. Very important aspect of our Christian faith. If you understand this, your judgment will not be superficial anymore. Your sense of judgment will be guided by the purity of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, that means he has prayed the Father to send us the Spirit of truth. So when he comes, he will lead us to all the truth. All. So there are so many truths crystallized in the heart of God that only the Holy Spirit can help us know them. Are we together here?
Yes.
And Jesus said, when you know the truth has capacity to do what? To set you free. It has both an informative dimension, a informative, and B formative. So when that truth hits your soul, it informs you. If you like, you can equally call it illumination. It illumines you, and then it gets you informed, and then forms you. You become that which you have received as an information. So that's what Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to the truth, and when you know the truth that comes from the womb of the Holy Spirit, said, that truth will make you free. In other words, anytime you see bondage anywhere, anytime you have a challenge, anytime there's something that resists something good about your life, it means what you need is an information that comes from the womb of the Holy Spirit in that area of life that you need to engage to bring about your liberation. The Holy Spirit is not interested in healing you of your sickness. But he wants to give you an information that will be established in your soul that gives you the capacity to remain above the spirit of affliction. So that anytime it comes, you have what it takes to deal with it. He's not interested in just blessing you. The Holy Spirit is interested in teaching you the truth about blessing. So that when you are blessed with that truth, you remain blessed all the days of your life. The Holy Spirit is not interested in prospering you, but is interested in giving what it takes to prosper and for what purpose you are prospering. So that when you are prospering, you will not prosper in the wrong direction. Many prosper in the wrong direction. All prosperity is not of God. Somebody say prosperity is prosperity. It's not true. So sometimes I'm sure in the past you pray, "Oh God, prosper me," and he'll be asking you, "Which type of prosperity do you want?" Because there are some people who have received prosperity and they end up destroying them. But when the Spirit of Truth comes in your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will flash that truth into your heart. It comes in form of what we call what? The preceding word. He speaks to us through the preceding words. He teaches us through the preceding word. And the preceding word is that word that jumps out, if you like, that leaps from the written word. Did you just get the point I made now? Who caught sight of it? The preceding word is that word that leaps from the written word. David said, "Lord, once have you spoken, twice have I heard." The second one is the one that leaped from the spoken word. The written word will always come to you in the general sense, addressing the crowd. But the preceding word, when it comes, that same word will now come to you on a personal level. You will know that God is just speaking to you now. And each time your soul tests the preceding word, child of God, something great has happened in your life. You've got to articulate it. You've got to write it. You've got to keep it. You have to keep saying it to yourself. Then your spirit will feed on that preceding word until it gets robust. It energizes. It empowers. It drains the power of darkness that have taken hold of your soul. How do you deal with unbelief? How do you deal with the infrastructure of doubt, ignorance, and fear? I cannot talk you out of your fears. The only thing that has the capacity to dislodge fear, ignorance, unbelief, doubt in your heart is the preceding word. That word that while you are meditating on the word of God, it lives and addresses you as a person. Oh, you say, "This one touched me." Hey, it breaks you down. Sometimes you may see yourself weeping. You want to go further, the thing drops you back again. It's like God is saying, "This is what I mean for you today." Anytime you pick those words and pray and bring them back to God, you are filling the vials of the saints with holy incense. Revelation chapter 5. Why do we come to church on Sunday when God's word is being given to us, being read out? We are all meant to be attentive so you can catch your own word that is coming to you. Sometimes we call it the catching word, the prescribing word, the word that leaps from the written word and comes into you. Jesus said, "The words are spoken to you, they are spirits, they are life." The preceding word is the life of the word that have come out of the written word to enter somebody's life. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2 says, "O Lord, you spoke your word to me. When you spoke to me, your spirit entered me and raised me up. O Lord, you spoke to me. Your spirit entered me." God spoke, the spirit entered. The preceding word is that spirit that enters. "And your spirit lifted me up." It is the energizing dimension of the word of God. So when Jesus was saying, "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was talking about the preceding word. He said the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth what? Life. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Paul said, we labor in the world to feed you. To labor in the world is to be with the world until the preceding word comes into you. What are we sharing when we come together for our band Bible class? But all of us are just interested in the written word. We want to go for the preceding word. Because the power of salvation is crystallized in the preceding word. That's why after you've written some of the things that God has furnished you with in the course of the Bible class, the several preceding words you received, words that have lightened up your understanding, that word that you received that disarmed you from an impending action you were about to carry out, that word that consoled you, that word that snipped fear out of your heart and gave you courage to take a step that you never took before, that word that energized you and made you take a stand in the spirit against something that has been dominating you all this while, that word that came into you and gave you an insight to take an action some years ago, and today you are somewhere you knew that it's because of that word that came to you. That word that you heard all of a sudden, the sickness running in your body, started losing control. You've got to keep those words. They are your treasures. They are called the testimony of the saints. Amen. When you go into a prayer closet, when the Lord said, bring me words, what is he saying? My son, my daughter, when you come to prayer closet, bring me the preceding words. The words that have lifted my written word into your heart. That is what is your own. May God fill your heart with multiplicity of the preceding word in the name of Jesus Christ. The book of Jeremiah, when God was telling Jeremiah to go and carry out the mission God has mandated him to carry out, he said, you know, I can't speak. From a youth, God said, don't speak that way. I will put my words in your mouth. Let's look at it. Jeremiah chapter 1. Are we there? Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 1 said, the words of Jeremiah the son of Hilkiah of the priests that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. You see, the man kept the dates that word came to him. He kept the date of the time the word of the Lord came to him. Now, this guy is a sort of a priest, right? Is that the first time he was carrying the word of God? No. I'm sure he'd been carrying the scroll around all these years. But on this day, he said, the word of the Lord came to me. He's wanting to carry the Bible around, but it's another thing for the word of the Lord to come to you. And child of God, I want to open your eyes. the more you begin to receive the preceding word, just get prepared. Your time has come. Your time has come. Because it's the preceding word that carries grace into your life. Anytime your soul traps any preceding word, write it, ruminate over it, pray with it, memorize them, keep them. As long as those words are in your heart, they will come to pass. Praise the Lord. That's the intelligence of those who are in Christ. You've got to know it. That's why it's just said, when the Spirit of truth comes, that is a system in heaven. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to all the truth. So he just says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. He came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So he said the first one came, the second one came. God's word is locating somebody in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You've got to have a heart disposed to receive his word. You see, you have to create a favorable condition for the preceding word to come. And how do you do that? You free your heart of all the negative things that the devil is bringing. Unbelief, worries, doubts, fears, fear of this one, fear of that one, I'm afraid of this. Baby, better sit down. You're moving too much now. You see, you're distracting everybody. Now take what you want to take and sit down, okay? Take what you want to take and sit down. Attend to her. Let her not come back again, right? Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you see, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Wow. So God knows us before even we were conceived in our mother's womb. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say God knows me before I was formed in my mother's womb.
God knows me before I was formed in my
So when you understand this, you now see that your life is not here by chance. If you didn't beg God before you were conceived in your mother's womb, if you didn't beg God when you were in the womb of your mother, why must it be now that you think that God will abandon you? Why do you now think that now that you have now come on this side of life, God has abandoned you? Verse 6. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I'm a child. Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. For you shall go to all that I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Not fight. He didn't say you shall fight. He didn't say you shall argue. He didn't say you shall complain. Amen. You shall what?
Speak.
Can't hear you.
Speak.
Verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, say the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The barrel of the word. Say the barrel of the word. He wrote, he said, I saw the hand of the Lord now. And he put his word in my mouth. Is it hand that puts words in people's mouth? Why is God putting words in the mouth of Jeremiah? Is he a dumb man? He can speak now. So outside the normal words, there are other kinds of words. You see, as I'm speaking here now, I'm not speaking normal words any longer. When I come in here for program and I start teaching, I'm not speaking the normal vocabularies. I'm not speaking the normal words. Each word I say here carries something unique in it. You've got to learn when you are speaking from the energy of the word of God your soul has partaken from, and when you are speaking from the energy of the ordinary life. When I go into my prayer closet and I want to pray now, I'm not praying from the normal energy. I'm praying from the energy of the word of God. And sometimes you become a little bit aggressive because those proceeding words are not meant, you know, they are not meant to be prayers of, they're not meant to make you calm. They are full of energy. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to us as a church. So when you hear that a church is a prophetic church, this is what we're talking about here. The ability to trap the word that comes from God that arms the church, on account of that, the church can speak forth that word. And when that word is spoken out, it has capacity to address issues that has invincible dimensions. Who have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by what? The words of our testimony. What are the words of testimony? The words that are bettered in the womb of the Holy Spirit that have come to you as what? Preceding words. So when you go into a prayer closet, you are not going there to just be telling God the language of the ordinary life. You are going to tell God words that I have trapped your word. Thus says the Lord. And you present to him in the face of a particular issue you are addressing. And when you bring his word, because his word is firmly established in heaven, it must surely be firmly word established on the earth. Let your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Has it been done in heaven? Yes. It must surely be done on earth. This is how you do what they call argumentative prayer. That is a prophetic prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So you can see what the Lord told Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words. Say words.
Words.
Say it again.
Words.
Is it one or many?
Many?
Good. I put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10. And I say, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. With what? With knives. Oh, Jesus. He said, this day I've set you. Do you know what it means that God has set you? Hallelujah. What I'm doing now is just take me back to many years when these words came to me as preceding word. When I read this part of scripture many years ago. We're intoxicated with something. Many words like this gets intoxicated in your spirit. There's this burning sensation you feel. And you have the capacity to stare at anything and speak to it. You speak to all kinds of things. When you voice words out and you are dealing with people who have demonic issues, they see fire coming out of mouth. Because the preceding word in its nature carries what? Fire. Jeremiah said, these words are burning away in my bones. They burn me like fire. I see someone here learning to speak the words that carry fire in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, I have set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. How can you root out a nation? How can you root out a kingdom, for goodness sake? What type of words did he put that can give somebody capacity to root out a whole nation with some words in his mouth? If you are confronted by nations of witchcraft, if you are confronted by nations of wicked men and women, child of God, the Holy Spirit is bringing the truth to you. He's telling you, you have capacity. Say, I have capacity.
I have capacity.
Hey. Say, I have capacity.
I have capacity.
Say, God has set me.
God has.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Have you taken your position?
Yes.
You know, we live in the church of today. Oh God, fight for me. Oh God, do it for me. Oh God, where are you? Oh God, answer me. Show yourself. Come down from your throne and demonstrate your power. God, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Some Christians don't want to hear that. Don't send me. God, do it for me. Me, I learned it the hard way, the only way. When I waited and waited for things to happen and they happened, and my life was sinking, I was almost at the verge of being annihilated, the Holy Spirit said, my son, take your place and do the needful. I said, but I trust God. He said, God has given what it takes. Engage it. That's how you gain glory. I said, what? He said, yes. I said, wow. But I learned it inside the pit. I learned it in the pit of darkness. And I learned how to start using my tongue. God created a universe with his mouth. He has transferred that same power to you to recreate the world with your mouth. At least you can recreate your own aeon with your mouth. Say what God says. I have put my words in your mouth and I've set you. I've set you. I've set you. To root out. That means not to cut, eh? You know, when you cut, they can regrow, right? He said, I've set you to do what? To root out. That means you go down to the foundation and root it out, and it will have no capacity to ever regenerate again. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with what God has said now?
Yes.
You have capacity to root out. This day, Jeremiah, I'm going to send a Kenya market for you to do it. Is that what he said? He said, I set you. Say, God has set me today. To root out things that are not consistent. The way I'm saying it is like you're just saying it before for a reason. Say, you should say it. Say, God has set me to root out things that are not consistent with his will for my life. With the will for my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. So that's how the Holy Spirit leads us to the truth. He shows us the truth. Then he gives us the capacity to function in that dimension. We have conquered him. Not God conquered him for us. We have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. The words of my testimony. Jeremiah rooted out by the words of his own testimony. And if you can also catch the light of the illumination that came from the word of God to Jeremiah, the same thing he did, you can equally do against systems that contend your health, systems, demonic systems that contend your happiness, that contend your journey with God, that contends your holiness, that contends all anything that God has put in your life and are contending with them. This has capacity to root it out. We're not taught this from the beginning. And so we grew with the wrong orientations. That's why a lot of Christians are looking for those to pray for them. When they have issues, they are looking for prayer houses. Let me go. I learned that this brother can pray. Let me go. And you go there to submit yourself to another fellow human being to start praying for you. And sometimes they begin to make demands from you that are so outlandish. And people are ready to spend anything for such kind of prayers, even when they are very fake. Because you lack the substance of your identity. You don't know who you are. You don't know what God has done for you. You don't know the investment God has made for you. Let's go down. It says, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. So you have capacity to root out anything that has root. Did he say you root out with olive oil? Answer me now. Did he say you root out with bags of salt? Praise the Lord. Are we here? Put your hands together for Jesus. Fire. Put your hands together. Let those who are far be back. Did he say you root out with Archangel Michael perfume? You're not laughing. Did he say you should root out with midnight prayers? Is that what he said? What did he say? You root out with the words he has put in your mouth. The Bible now says, blessed is the man who has filled his quivers with these arrows. He shall not be put to shame when he contends with the enemy at the gateways of life. I pray that the day the devil will mark you for action, for attack, your quivers will be filled with sharp arrows, hot, baked from the womb of meditation, baked from the womb of prayers. When your quiver is filled with these arrows and he dares you, you will see boldness at work. In the name of Jesus. And as you release it, you give me a deadly wound. That he will mark you and say, this one? No, I underrated this one. Jesus crushed the devil with just three. It is written, man does not live on bread alone. He took it. Second one again. It is written, do not put the Lord thy God to the test. He took it. The devil tries to play pranks and also say, it is written. Then Jesus too, he said, it is written. After three shots, the Bible said, the devil left. He couldn't stand again. I pray that from today, that as the Holy Spirit is building you up in this dimension, you will begin to learn to engage the preceding world, and you will see testimonies around your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So your assignment covers all range. Okay? All spheres of life. So you have the ability to root out. You can enter the ground and root out things buried. Okay? Not with holy water or anointing oil, but with the preceding word. If you like the preceding word and you go and sprinkle those things and pray over those things, you are messing up yourself. The devil knows the law of the word of God. He knows. Are we together here?
Yeah.
The devil knows the principle that governs the integrity of the word of God. So when you do religiosity, he will laugh at you. That's why there are some families who keep going for family deliverance. They will even call some people. They will come around the house. They will pray, carry drums of olive oil, pour around the house, use salt, scatter everywhere, use and say, now we are bringing new atmosphere of aroma to this family. They pour 12 liters of akejamake oil everywhere. They say it is midnight. Eh? They would like to start it midnight, when the devil's eyes is open, not when he's sleeping. And they do it, and after that, they collect 1 million from you and say, we have done our work. And you pay their transport back to wherever they came from, and then you are waiting for the turnaround. And it's like the family gets into a worst case scenario. Such prayers lack the testimony. Such prayers lack the preceding word. And the Holy Spirit has come to furnish you with a truth that can root out, with a truth that can pull down, with a truth that can destroy, with a truth that can build. With a truth that you can plant. It's very wide, though, I tell you. It's very wide. You can plant seed in the life of people and change them forever. You do that through what? The preceding words. You don't need to shout. The important thing is, are you speaking from the energy of the word your soul has trapped? That word that you have digested. That word that touched you is your own. The Spirit is just telling you, this is what God has given to you as a gift. Receive it with thanksgiving. How many times after Mass on Sunday, you say, oh, thank God for today's word. Father, thank you for this point you made. You start reminding yourself of those points. This one again, this one. Oh, you talk about this. Oh, God, thank you. You're appreciating that gift. The preceding would have come to your mind. The devil too sees that preceding word in your heart. And then you go home, you start ruminating on that word. You keep using it to pray. Thank you, Father, for this word. All of a sudden, you decree it. All of a sudden, you decree it. All of a sudden, you decree it. You keep speaking it. You keep speaking it. You don't know. You are energizing the atmosphere around you by that word. You are energizing the invincible word network that has the ability to affect the administration of your physical life. What is the plague that beset the church of today? They are looking for who will pray for them, and they will get their testimony, and they go. So they keep remaining babies in the spirit. So anytime there's trouble, they look for who will help them. And the ratio is fast growing. Those who need prayers are almost 99.99%. Those who help others are just microseconds. But that's not the intention of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to arm every believer, wants to arm every child of God to understand the principle. I told you some time ago in the past that when the Lord was teaching me this, I didn't learn it from anybody. The Spirit was just teaching me, and I didn't believe it. I said, "What this? What type of nonsense is this? Nobody has taught me something like this before. Have I heard it anywhere before?" And then that very night, when I was doubting this, I've shared with you severally. I was praying all of a sudden, and I dozed off, and I saw myself praying in the same place. I was kneeling. I saw myself praying there. Those times, I was just complaining and just trying to tell God how big my problems were. all I saw that was coming out of me. That's when the day I knew that anytime you are praying, there's an incense that comes out of you. An invisible cloud that comes, that is better than you, that comes out. And that became another issue for me, because I was wondering, I said, what type of devil is this? Devil is around me. I can see the smoke around me. I was agitated. That same spirit led me to Revelation chapter 5. Can we look at it? Revelation chapter 5. Thank you. Revelation. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Shout a big amen. Verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They were carrying vials, big things. And the king was carrying the incense. And said, this is what the prayers of the saints. The physical incense is a symbol of the spiritual incense. So I saw myself praying, and then when I was now telling God how big my problems were, the challenge of eating me up, why has God healed me, why is my life this way, why am I suffering, I saw dark smoke coming out. Very dark. And I got worried. Then all of a sudden, I remember when I used to say the Psalms. Then I saw myself again, I was not with the Psalms, I was reading the Psalms. And I noticed that the incense coming out, or the smoke coming out, was not dark. It was like cloud. It was like cloud. I said, but why was the first one dark? The second one is like cloud. I was worried about that. Then one day I saw myself again, where I was praying and I was being prophetic, declaring the word of God. Father, I want to thank you because your word says this. Each time I say those words, I noticed that the cloud, the white cloud, was still coming out of me. But once a while, when I speak for the word of God, I see a spark of fire out of my mouth. That spark will show. It worried me for months. And at the end of it all, the Spirit said, from the three different ways of prayer, which one do you prefer? I said, the first one, he said, go and look at the content of your prayer. So I went back again to, in my mind, to search what I was saying in those prayers. And I saw that when you are complaining about your troubles is unbelief at work. When I am praying a prayerless prayer, you are still producing what? Incense. No prayer is in vain. You can only pray bad prayer for yourself. You are producing something. So when I went through the whole stuff and I said I prefer the first one, and I remember what I said in those prayers, I said, that changed my prayer life from that moment. From that day, I gave quit notice to all forms of complaint in prayer. You see how the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of Truth, revealed to me the reality of prayer. So anytime I have a challenge, what I do is I go and cite the scriptures. What did God say concerning these things? And when I articulate them, I'll start meditating on them. Then from the written word that I meditated upon, God will now do what? Speak to me the preceding words. And once my quiver is loaded with the preceding word, I'm well armed to go into my prayer closet. And like David, I will now begin to say, look at David, never complain. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? He who dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When you come into prayer closet, you begin to release that to those words. These are the words that will address your issue. If you come with complaint, God says my signature is not what you are saying. I can't engage it. Speak words that carry the signature of God. That is what makes your prayer powerful. That's the kind of words that can root out, that can pull down, that can build, that can plant. Death has no dominion over me. I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus, I have received the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. No more fear. Take the position of God in your heart. Vincent, but sometimes when you say this thing, you say them, but it doesn't come out. I don't see it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. It's called a testimony of your mouth. Even God himself repeated himself several. Are you aware? You don't know. Let me show you in the Bible. I've shown in the past, but I've forgotten. Go to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 1. That even God himself said things, and he didn't see it immediately. But he didn't change his words. He kept saying. He kept saying. First sentence, want to go? Read verse 6. Stop. Just read the first word there. Okay. Read verse 9 for me. Okay. Read 11. Read 14. Okay. Read 20. Okay. Read 24. 26. 29. 30. 31. 31. Read the first one there. And what? Hey, of God, are we here?
Yes.
So you're not the first person to commit the crime of saying and saying and saying. It's the technology in the spirit. Keep saying it. Because the word has come, keep saying it. Because at that point, your spirit is pregnant with the word. And then what? Growth has started. The devil will want to abort that thing by making you to say the contrary by complaining. Then you make the condition necessary for the manifestation of the words you've spoken null and void. I said something here a few weeks ago, and some people were saying, You don't know that I have been saying it for years. Death has no dominion over me. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be dominated. I have the light of life. I refuse to walk in darkness. No more. I refuse to sink. Victory is mine. The peace of Christ is my portion. I refuse to be sad. No more depressions. No more confusions. In the name of Jesus, I shine. So as long as your thoughts are sponsored by words that God has crystallized in Scripture, and they are the words that have lifted from Scripture and have become part of you, keep saying it. All these times you are driving for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and you are just putting on radio and you are listening to junks coming from all kinds of stupid music, you shut your radio and keep speaking the word. Charge your atmosphere around you. Charge your aeon. Do you know that each time you speak any word, you are addressing something in your world? Eh? This is the day you will die. This is the day you are born. And you are here. Everything about you is here. Your family, your career, your finances, your health. Everything that has to do with your existence right now is captured in your aeon. Any preceding word that you inject, you speak out, controls your aeon. It's settling something supernaturally. The things you are saying now, you won't see them now. You are speaking them, you will meet them in the future. Every word you say now, you are going to meet it in the future. It's captured in the spirit. That's the truth the Holy Spirit wants to teach the church. And so that's why the church should be more of a listening church than a talking church. It is now when you have grown to maturity, meaning that you have listened enough. Look at what you said today. What was the word he said today again in the gospel? Who can remind me? He said, let these words enter deep into you, into your ear. Let this word enter deep into your ear. That's how you are washed. The more of the preceding word that dominates your quivers, the more you are washed, and the glory of the word is manifested. Because when he fills you with the preceding word, then the lordship of his word begins to take over the territories of your life. The word takes over the territory of your health. The word takes over the territory of your finances. The word takes over the territory of your heart. And all the places where fear has taken over, it takes over those places. Every part of your aeon now comes under the administration of the preceding word. So that each time the devil comes to attack any part of here, what does he see? He sees the spoken word at work already in your life. Shout a big amen.
Amen.
That's how you guard your territories. keep speaking words concerning your family, your children. You speak words concerning your career. You speak words concerning your old age. You speak words concerning you now, your travelings, everything. Pick the word of God. Speak forth what God has said concerning those things for you. Keep saying them. Keep saying them. God said, God said. Was he speaking only on one thing? No. He said things concerning the sun. He said things concerning the plant. He said things concerning the ground. He keeps saying, he keeps saying. He knew that if what he said, he has planted a seed in the spirit. It took years before God saw. Part of the assignment in prayer is that when we go to prayer, we keep saying those things. We keep saying them. And if you watch Jesus, sometimes he'll come out from prayer closet, say, I'm the light of the world. That means that he has been saying it in the closet. Now he comes out on the open and he says it. He said, whatever is given to you in the secret, say it out in the open. It appears very simple. Why must we say it? Must we have to say for God to do it? Then why did God say, I put my words in your mouth? He was arming this young prophet who was going to face a task that was going to be heavy. And he said, I put my words in your mouth. You shall root out. You will break down. You will destroy. You will build. You will plant. He came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Jeremiah said, oh God, only you know. He said, prophesy to it. Because himself, God gave him his word in his scroll and he said, eat it, and he ate it. The man has received so much of the preceding word loaded in his quivers. He said, now engage your quiver and speak to the dry bones. Why can't God just step down from heaven and say, these dry bones that he said, he told my people, oh yeah, get together, please. No, God used an instrument. You are God's instrument. Are you aware of that? You are God's instrument. You are a prophet unto yourself first, before you become a prophet unto another person. If you are not taking your seat for yourself, how can you take your seat for another person? Why do we allow the culture of the world to so tear us apart that we'll lose the culture of how we exist in the realm of faith? You talk the way they talk. That's why many Christians are in a pit. They talk sickness to themselves. They talk cancer to themselves. They talk all kinds of things to themselves. They keep saying words that lack the life of God. You don't say such things. You say, but are we not human beings? Why are we not? Can't we express ourselves? Yes, you can express yourself, but you don't say things that will destroy you. Your words have power. Each word you say is captured in the spirit, whether negative or positive. And they will look for you. They will keep looking for you. I'm dying. Hey, where I'm seeing myself now? I hope all is well. Don't worry. Very soon you will hash it. You have spoken it and you spoke with them. You said it emotionally. You spoke from the womb of your spirit. Let no killing words ever emanate from your mouth again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Matthew 12, verse 37. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
What we are sharing now is for Christians who want to be serious with their life. Christians who will reach the promised land, not those who will die in the desert. Not those who become victims of the serpent. That beast in the desert, those who complain because of food and drink, those who even challenge those who are leading them, who criticize the prophet Moses. Those who say, let us go back to Egypt where we were eating cucumber and garlic. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay, let's start from somewhere. You can see how Jesus is speaking. Each time he's speaking to two worlds at the same time. Okay? Let's start from from verse 32. Matthew 12 from verse 32. And it says, and whosoever speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow. Is this not serious? That's when you speak against the Spirit of truth. There's no forgiveness. Who said this? Jesus. Verse 33. He said, neither make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or else, make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now, juxtapose what he's saying now with human beings, right? Because he's speaking from what is physical to address human reality. He now says, verse 34, O generation of vipers. Can you see now? So if a tree is bad, how do you know the tree is bad? From this analogy as given, by the words that comes out of you. How do you know a good Christian? Our judgment has been right now this way. How do you know a good Christian? Okay, you're making your judgment right now. The kind of words that come out of you tells us your stand in the realm of the Spirit. Oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? It's not possible. You're not telling us who you are. That's why you can't be committed to the good things you're saying, because intrinsically, you are what? Evil. Have you met people that no matter what good they say to you, they will never bring it to pass? And you have known them, and you mark them, and say, this one, don't mind what he's saying, no. If you follow what he's saying, you enter the pit. Because they are never committed to what they say. But if they make up their mind to do you evil, they won't miss. Because that's the resources they have. Oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you see, the mouth does not speak from the head. It speaks from the... Now, the trigger is the head, right? The barrel is the mouth. The bullet is the heart. What triggers what you say is in your head, right? But what comes out of you is what is in your heart. And the barrel through which the bullet comes out is your mouth. Let's continue. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart brings forth good things. Wow. So there's something called treasure in our hearts. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you, be serious, that every idle word that men shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Who is speaking here?
Jesus.
Did you hear that? That every idle word that proceeds from your mouth, you will give account. Have you ever heard this becoming a headline teaching in the church? No. But look at, you know, he was talking. All of a sudden, he changed the position. You know, he was talking as one educated. Then he now took his stand when he mentioned the last thing. But I say unto you. Now, he is making a decree here. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. Which judgment? Do you think is the day you die? The day that the devil will come for harvest of words. You don't know when the devil is going around, he is looking for people who have words that aligns to his own purpose to use it against them. That's why you see now in the second part of that, you know, teaching continues. He now says in verse 37, for by your words shall you be what? Justified. And by your words shall you be what? Condemned. I learned this many years ago. And I began to discipline myself to learn to say the right words. Job says, right words are forcible words. That means when you say right words, you create a force in the spirit. What are you saying? What are those words that you say that are not born of the word of God? Are we together here?
Yes.
Is the Holy Spirit teaching us something here?
Yes.
Is he leading us to the truth?
Yes.
When he comes, he will lead you to all the truths that you don't know now. For by thy words shall you be justified. So there are words that justifies a man. To be justified means to be acquitted. Words I will say, I'll be acquitted from a condemnation meant to take my life. There are words I will say, I'll get blessed. There are words I will say, I can bring a curse upon myself. Now, as we're hearing this now, you begin to ask yourself, what have you been saying about yourself? Do you know you can cut your life short by what you are saying? You are supposed to have lived for 70 years. You will cut it short by 50 because you've said so much negative words against your own very life to the point that the devil has enough raw material to condemn you on the day he rises against you. Jesus was speaking here as the Lord of life. Now say, but I say unto you, he took a position. I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak. He was talking as a judge. Hello. He was speaking as a judge. That every idle word that man shall speak, all the casual words, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment, on the day that the wickedness of the world comes. For by your words shall you be justified. So, child of God, begin to relate with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with him to fill you with preceding words, the words that will justify you. On that day, that the devil contend your life, contend your health, contend your finances, contend your family, contend your existence. The devil said, enough is enough for this lady. You will not live beyond this week. You need to bring words that will justify why you should live beyond next week. I shall not die. I shall live and recount the goodness of God. You start giving your reasons based on the word of God. I see someone changing the course of his life.
Amen.
By preceding words that is loaded in your heart right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have to tame your tongue. You have to tame your tongue. Christian discipline is actually manifested in its highest form in the tongue, your tongue. The way you speak, the way you tame your tongue shows the level of your maturity in your Christian life. You can sink by what you say. Even when Jesus is standing with you and is praying for you, you will sink. Are you aware that your voice is what? Is the expression of your spirit. Your voice is the channel through which your spirit finds expression on this side of life. May the Holy Spirit teach us every day and fill us with the rightful words, justifying words. Sometimes you can say, Holy Spirit, I need a justifying word. Give me the word that will justify me in this situation. Words that will deliver me. Words that will catapult me out of this dungeon. What you need is the word. And the Bible says, He sent His word to do what? To heal them and to deliver them from destruction. What I am today is by what I've been saying for ages. And I'm still saying more. There are some that I'm afraid to say to you here. Because when you hear them, you say, what? Is it possible? So I keep it to myself. But a time will come that I'll be saying it anyhow. Because at that point, the Bible says, when the cloud is full of rain, by what you'll be saying, you don't know you're a risen cloud, eh? When the cloud is full of rain, it will empty itself. What you've been saying for ages will come and cause a move of God in your aeon and turn this around. You'll be shocked and say, you'll be asking, how did they arrive at this point? They don't know that in your closet, you've been saying words, building energy with the rightful words, building energy with the spirit word, building energy with the preceding word. What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your children? The devil is busy. What is curse? Queen of Heaven, witchcraft. Which is they go to their witch coven and they're having meeting. What are they doing there? Let me tell you. Follow here? Follow here? When they come together, the leader sets the meeting in motion. What do we intend to achieve in the next 2 weeks in the territory that they occupy? They will now point out what they want to achieve. Maybe sicknesses, maybe the blanket of darkness that is bringing difficulty in human life, maybe curses in the area of family disintegration, or whatever. When they now crystallize that as, okay, this is what we want to achieve. Now, what do? They begin now to energize themselves. And that's why they suck human blood spiritually. They take the life of yourselves spiritually. And so, on account of that, they energize themselves in the spirit. All of them. Then, if you understand the way they operate in their covens, they start early. Anything, 11:30, 12, 1, 2, 3, they are still there. What are they saying? They begin to release words that will push the agenda they have on ground into the lives of people. They will begin to say words of curses. They start saying them. They keep saying it. They call it incantation. They start making incantations. Incantations that will build energy, that will power those who things they want to see manifest in the life of people. They will sing for 3-4 hours. The first hour, around 1 o'clock, they are saying it. They build energy to around 2 o'clock. Then their energy range will start spreading, but they have not started releasing it yet. At that level, they can manipulate the minds of people, even wherever they are. They start seeing bad dreams. That time you are seeing some bad dreams, they are building energy to attack you. They keep saying it. They keep saying it until they reach a point of, they reach a crescendo when they know they are full. They now manifest. And start cursing. They start cursing. They start releasing those words. And the words will start moving. Anybody that has what it takes to harvest those words will come in. The person wakes up with issues. Have you seen couples living together so well? They woke up the next morning, one small quarrel brought a very big fight to the point that within 1 month, the family disintegrates. Have you seen some people, they just woke up, they say, I don't know why I was sleeping. I felt some pain here, and I just caught it. From there, a big boy is growing. From there, they say it's cancer. Before you talk 1-2, the person is getting rotten. You have different cases of different manipulations. And they will try to see how they can attend to it medically. And the more they try to give it medical attention, the worse it gets. These are all orchestrated from the covens, from the occultic world. And they engage the force of incantation. Incantation is to keep saying something that you have believed in so much and you build energy, and what powers that energy is what will propel that thing to manifest in the life of people. That's why they don't need you. They stay where they are and they keep saying it and they locate your spirit. If you like, run from a village. Eh? I've been in Abuja for 10 years. I say, no, me and Rego village again, no. I don't want to see you. Huh? You are deceiving yourself. They know your name. Once they call up your name, your spirit will report. If your spirit lacks the quivers that comes from the preceding world, have you had an encounter where in the dream you see yourself having issues and you start praying and you start engaging things that God has armed you with and you see things happen? Has it occurred to you? Someone who's there will shout to you, Mama Mo. And they wake up with wounds. I prayed for somebody a few weeks ago with marks all over. Each time they go to bed, they wake up with marks, real marks all over everywhere. The bedsheet is so soaked with blood. This person is a strong person in the church. So God is sending his word, the preceding word, to you to arm you. So the Holy Spirit is now teaching you to gain what? Spiritual intelligence. To learn to host words that God gives you from today. Don't joke with it. As a matter of fact, when he gives you to write the date, you receive that word in your soul. This is what the word of God says to me. Thus says the Lord to me. You write the date and you keep speaking it anywhere the devil comes challenging you. No matter the report of men, the report of God is greater. They will say you are finished. You say yes, but Thus says the Lord. You enforce that word given to you because there is a spirit behind it, there is a light behind it. Take advantage of that light by saying it. The more you say it, the more it's energized. The more you say it, the more it's energized. The more you say it, until like a balloon, it fills up your aeon and shuts down the blanket of darkness. That's how faith comes over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see why the Holy Spirit is so poised on teaching the church. And so each time you are saying the preceding word, know it that it is you that powers that word. God has given it to you. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. This time you are saying it, you are shrinking something in your heart. Because the spirit of doubt will be there to suffocate it, to make you believe that it is not working now. You've been saying it, it's not working now. Hey, you see, I've been saying it, Father, it's not working. I'm tired. Hey, how can the word of God fail? Even in the face of apparent jeopardy, keep saying the word. As long as your mouth is open, testimony must come to pass. You know, when you want to work in this dimension, you have to learn to be aggressive, eh? You have to learn to be aggressive and close your eyes in the face. Why are you seeking pity? Hey, you want them to pity you? Oh, sorry. See, the way it's going, our God is good. He's going to help you. You see, you say, just put me in your prayer. They're not praying for you. They will not pray for you. Eventually, when you die, they say, yeah, hi, she tried, she fought. Hi, that woman, she tried, she fought, eh? But who can fight when God has said yes? And they start speaking theology and religious language. Say,
I'm armed
with a preceding word.
Say,
nothing will take me by surprise again.
No more weeping.
Glory is mine.
Victory
is mine.
Joy
is mine. The peace of Christ is my banner.
The peace of Christ is my banner.
In the name of Jesus,
I will walk in victory.
In everything pertaining my life, I have what it takes. to move and be in the government of the Word of God.
In the mighty name of Jesus
Christ. Stop saying words that condemn you. Stop saying words that brings you down. Stop producing black smoke. Start producing fire. Speak like Mary. The Almighty has done great things in me. Holy is His name. He pulls down the mighty from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. He feeds the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty. He protects Israel's servant, remembering His mercy, the mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham, and His sons forever. That's the words that come from preceding meditation. And those things she said, they all came to pass. So what is today? The devil is so frightful of our lady, because she's a woman of the world. That's how the Holy Spirit cleanses us. As He gives us more of the preceding word, for every area of our lives, He washes us. From every spot, maybe a wrinkle. And by the preceding word, we run our world. As I am now, I have a preceding word for all of you. For this Christian community, I have a preceding word that I say. For my family, I have preceding words. For myself, I have preceding words that I say every day. I power them each day the sun rises. I power them to the air, and you just wake up to meet them. Because while you are sleeping, the evil ones are busy powering their own. If you wake up and you don't have sufficient preceding word to counteract the blanket of darkness coming. If you don't have the blanket of light, I can checkmate the blanket of darkness. You become a victim on the outside. That's the mystery of early morning prayers. To build the energy that will sustain you and counteract the blanket of negative energies that the enemy has produced by virtue of their own vigils every night. Jesus, every morning we wake up early hours to go and receive preceding words and charge the environment. And when you are doing that, when they look for him and say, Master, I will looking for you. He said, now, can we go? So I can go and preach. And he will see issue. The name of Jesus will bring you. Because he has charged himself with preceding words from the Father. Make this your spirituality, child of God. Every day, begin to change the course of things around you by this understanding. This is the wisdom that comes from above. The Bible says wisdom speaks to our children on account of the grace of the preceding word that God has laid in our heart. I decree that every confusion and every way the devil has continued to confuse you and make you not understand ways of victory comes to an end today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your appetite to gather more of the preceding word will increase from this moment.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will quicken you.
Amen.
He will quicken your understanding.
Amen.
To go and fill your quiver with more preceding word. In the morning, you shall be filled.
Amen.
In the afternoon, you shall be filled.
Amen.
At night, you shall be filled.
Amen.
Your appetite for the world shall increase superlatively in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that when you meet with your enemy at the gateways of life, the gateways of your family, the gateways of your career, the gateways of your health, the gateways of contending with negativities, you shall not be ashamed, because you have filled your quiver with these arrows. And you will engage these arrows that will bring you the necessary dimension you need in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Precious Father, bless your sons and daughters with fresh anointing, O God, that comes from your word. With fresh strength, suffocate the cloud of darkness, the cloud of doubt, despondency, hopelessness, confusion, ignorance, fear, and all forms of the instrument of satanic forces upon your children. May they become null and void in their life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Precious Father, I see you arming them with with your fresh fire, and they shall emerge as they start engaging them as your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I decree that the energies of negativity will become fertile each time you are located in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As the Holy Spirit has this singular project for the church, to bring the church to perfect truth, to bring the church to the point where the church will have no spots or wrinkles, a church glorified, a church metamorphosed, a church with the anointing to bring about the image of God to reality. May we all be part of this agenda in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one shall be left alone.
Amen.
No one shall be on the wayside.
Amen.
We shall all become instruments in the hand of the devil, in the hand of God, to bring about his kingdom expansion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Precious Father, I pray for more conviction in our hearts, more faith in our hearts, more light in our direction.
Amen.
I pray for your sons and daughters who have come today to seek you. The Bible says that those who seek you will surely find you.
Amen.
Whatever may be the reason they have come to search for you today, Lord, I pray that your hand is stretched right now towards them. Let that challenge go.
Amen.
That difficulty go.
Amen.
He said that those who come to you, you shall grant rest. I stand for them at this hour and I pray, give them rest in that area of their life.
Amen.
No more struggles.
Amen.
No more shame.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever legality the enemy has claimed, to insist that certain things will never depart from them, that it will remain there always. I'm going to torment them in their minds, torment them in their bodies, torment them in their families. Cases that become like rock that are unmoved. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, may they be removed today.
Amen.
May they be removed today.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For with God, the Bible says, nothing is impossible. Holy Spirit of God, may your hand perpetually remain with us. Lead us. Arm us.
Amen.
Empower us.
Amen.
Everything that discourages us, Holy Spirit, take it away in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Strengthen our feeble bodies.
Amen.
Quicken us. As you quicken us, let every cells of sickness, let every cells of affliction, let every cells that come in form of degeneration of the body, precious Holy Spirit, may they lose their grip in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Receive strength to be strong.
Amen.
Receive strength to serve God.
Amen.
Receive strength to be focused.
Amen.
In the midst of darkness, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bless the works of their hands, O God.
Amen.
Bless the source of their sustenance.
Amen.
That source through which your blessing flows into their life, may it receive an overflowing dimension in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says, a great and effectual door has been opened unto us. But there are many adversaries. Precious Father, King of Glory, we're not frightened by the adversaries because you have given us your name. The Bible says, by the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. So, Father, we crush them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A thousand by our side, we crush them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
10,000 by our right, we crush them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On account of this, we decree open doors.
Amen.
Doors to the blessings of destiny for us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I pray for your sons and daughters that whatever conspiracy the enemy has cooked up that are yet to be harvested, but I am still on the pipeline. Against anyone now who is on the sound of my voice, I decree and I declare, they shall be put to shame in the mighty name of Jesus. Precious Father, King of Glory, fight for your people.
Amen.
And even as you send your word to our hearts, as we speak them, your hand will be moved to bring us to the direction you have destined for us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Precious Father, as many who are connected to us, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our faith connectors, wherever they may be, whatever that is not of God that is about to happen in their life, we decree and we declare it shall not come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says that the posterity of the righteous shall be delivered. The posterity of the righteous shall be delivered.
Amen.
The posterity of the righteous shall be delivered.
Amen.
We speak this word now, O God, over as many who are connected to our angels.
Amen.
That the energy of the word of God that we receive now will be extended towards their territory.
Amen.
And they will enjoy the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
On account of your servant Abraham, Lot was spared where brimstones and fire was raining in Gomorrah. Precious Father, as many who are connected to us, whatever they may be, we decree and declare that they shall be spared.
Amen.
In the morning, they shall be spared.
Amen.
At night, they shall be spared.
Amen.
In the noon, they shall be spared.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, precious Jesus.
Amen.
For this little moment I've shared with you. Thank you for filling us with your life. Thank you for filling us with your fire. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, because you're a good shepherd who never leaves your flock untended. Death will have no dominion over us.
Amen.
Penury shall not have dominion over us.
Amen.
Be thou exalted. Amen. Just celebrate the Lord in your heart right now and appreciate him. Thank you for the word you have received.